Larry, I saw you had a pretty healthy lunch yesterday.
Actually, no, I had an apple and a.
That's what I'm saying. It was like a legitimately healthy lunch. I was happy for you.
I usually walk down the rail trail, turn around, and come back, and then go up.
Yeah, that's nice over there. It's nice over
yeah,
there.
It's 20, 25
I've
minutes.
Been working at Copic a lot lately, so over there, constantly.
Get everybody to stand for Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Motion to approve the minutes of the September 13th public hearing.
I'm like looking at my watch.
We're gonna call a meeting to order.
There you go.
Is it seven?
It is.
Now, we need a motion to approve the minutes of the September 13th public hearing.
So moved.
You said, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the minutes from the September 13th board meeting.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget to actual reports for the month of September.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the payment of bills for September 22nd and October 12th abstracts.
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public comment. Mr. Peter?
I have 4 points. She's bringing out the difference. We had 2 meetings with the developer on 7th Street, and twice I brought up the fact of the connect charge for water and for sewers. And I understand from the second meeting there is a charge to connect for both of those services, which have bond issues, which we taxpayers have been paying for quite a few years. So my question is, the fee that is charged, is that set by state law or is it set by the village? And my second question is the fee, say it's $100. Was it $100 10 years ago or 20 years ago? So if it's what it was in the past, I think since the board has fiduciary responsibility, you need to have that in constant dollars. So in other words, that price that you charged 10 years ago would be indexed, standard practice, Federal Reserve. So $10 10 years ago today is maybe $6. And I don't think the developer should be paying a price that was set years ago and has now, in fact, gone down.
I can talk about that a little bit, only from past experience. Before, when that was developed or subdivided up there, that fee that he pays actually comes, I think, from a planning board. That's the way that went before, because there's so many things that since he's adding that much at one time, it's not like you building a house and connecting to the water and sewer. It's a whole different animal, and that I don't think that connect charge is what you're speaking of. Is if I build a house on one of the vacant lots, there's a connect charge. I have to pay the $150 or whatever it is, but there's more to connecting all those houses than there is just building one.
Right, the infrastructure.
Right, and that all gets gone through with the planning board and the attorneys and the engineers.
Okay, but the wider question is, the costs for the village should not be based upon many years ago. They should reflect and constantly increase, reflect the decrease, the real, in the real dollar.
And it will be.
It will be.
Yes.
All right, great. Second point, I sent, and Trish distributed, about broadband and fiber optic. And this is really an important thing to move this village ahead. If you could work out some way, and the two authors of that who have done a lot of research would be willing to have a discussion, either with the board or possibly in the general public, about the impact of having better broadband and fiber optic accessibility. And if you want to do that, I need to, because both authors are very busy, it would have to be scheduled in, you know, sometime in the next few months. So let me know if it is, if it's no interest, then, you know.
Well, I think there's interest.
Yeah.
Can he do it in like a workshop setting, or does he have to do it during the day?
No, they could do it in the evening. They work in the day.
Okay.
So why don't you see what, you know when the workshops are. Why don't you see what their availability is in the coming months? And,
okay.
So I mean, is that...
And initially to have this as a discussion among the trustees rather than a...
No, I think we're all in agreement if we can just...
I would like to hear it before it went public.
Yeah.
Before it went, okay. Okay. Then the third thing I want to bring up is the data collection on the rental inspection program. And I see there's a report here. And, I hate to admit it, but this is the third time I brought this up. If we're going to be able to plan a budget and plan resource allocation, we need data. So that is, for instance, tenancy inspection. Is that the first inspection, second inspection? How much time is it? Unless we have specific data, this is really fairly, it's not useful at all for planning. So I think whoever supervises the building inspector, maybe it would help to give him a model that you really need to know how much time does it take to do a second inspection. If some landlord has really disgusting property and it has to go through an hour or more, and then there's a second inspection and a third inspection, this all contributes to figuring out how much you can charge to have one inspection, reinspection, reinspection. So this is really so sketchy that it's, I don't see that it's really useful. And the fourth item is income-based housing. And I hope the board can be looking at the idea of, if you go through with vacant buildings or burned out buildings, and instead of letting that lot go to tax lien sale or something like that, if somehow the means can be made so the village would assume that and then make an arrangement to have affordable, that is to say, income-based housing built there for ownership. We're already very skewed because of the number of rentals versus ownership. So I would hope that consideration be given to ownership over that type of land that would be in the tax lien or foreclosure or that sort of thing. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia?
I am
here to follow up on the community forum with Clover Reach LLC about the development up on Summit. I wanted to just say that definitely appreciated the effort that that Andrew and Doc and Dan made to come here, present their ideas, collect community feedback. Appreciate that Brian made that suggestion to them, but I just wanted to kind of follow up on the record to make the point that unless that conversation continues, it doesn't mean anything that they did that last week. And to his credit, Andrew has followed up with me to continue that conversation, but I think that community conversation has to include the village, and it has to include the village taking responsibility for ongoing projects, i.e. the BOA, and understanding that piece of property is a very significant piece of property that is related to the water, to the waterfront, to the watershed, future watershed management plan, and that's an ongoing project that you have put time and money, state time and money into getting to this point at, and that you're currently in contract to continue development of that plan, and that for you guys to not really take ownership of what the potential impact of that project could be on the village, on the lake, it would, to me, indicate a kind of abdication of responsibility and the commitments that you've made to see that project through. So I really want to encourage you all to absorb what that impact could be in relationship to the lake and in relationship to the BOA project, and just kind of continue. Just be aware that many of us are going to continue probing you guys in terms of the capacity to kind of put pressure on the developers, to put pressure on all of us to understand what the potential impact for that project might be. I just wanted to follow up by saying I'm not 100% against that development outright, but I think that given the sensitivity of that site, how special it is, and the potential impact that it could have, it's just so critical that we look closely at it and do everything that we can to hold ourselves all accountable. So thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Wasn't she just here?
Well.
All right. Arlene.
Okay, I'm reading for Arlene.
Okay.
She has copies. She's reading now. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dear village board members, I am writing about the proposed housing development just above the Summit Lake Reservoir. While adding a variety of housing stock to the village is important, the village board must not be too late. The board must fulfill its obligation to protect the reservoir, Belmont's greatest asset, and its wetlands and wildlife. I am in favor of some development, but I would like to encourage the village board to be far-sighted, thoughtful, and prudent in the kind of development it allows on this particular land. As a less thoughtful oversight of the development process will impact all of us in the village forever. In my opinion, the village board has an obligation to make sure that the land and wildlife is properly protected or saved. Say the village board has an obligation for several reasons. First, there are the board's signatures in agreement with the Brownfield Opportunity Area project a few short months ago. More knowledgeable people can speak to this, but I believe the conservation of the reservoir was a part of that agreement. I believe the village has already received state grants towards fulfillment of the BOA project, which all agreed to as a worthwhile future fulfillment. I also believe the village board has an obligation to support the recommendations of its own comprehensive plan. That plan recommends maintenance of the reservoir as a scenic and touristic attraction. Keeping the reservoir attractive and the bird life abundant means pushing back the development of the point to the point that property owners will not be able to clear the treetops for a view of Catskills, since there is no way to prevent individual homeowners from taking down the trees once they own the property. It is prudent to make sure their property does not extend into the area seen from the beach. If fees are enacted, so what? They will simply cut down the trees and pay the fee. Then Belmont will lose this attraction forever. The decisions of the board then need to take the integrity of the view and the potential loss of wildlife into consideration. The board needs to negotiate with the developers to ensure the least damage to these treasures. That is the board's responsibility as a steward of the village and as a signatory of the BOA project, and it is in keeping with the recommendations of the comprehensive plan. The Philmont Village Comprehensive Plan also recommends that development of the area above the reservoir include a diversity of housing on different size lots that preserves the look and feel of the village. On this, it is clear. Again, I'm not against the development, except where it comes way too close to the reservoir and its wetlands. Just because this potential development is better than the previously proposed development, it is not in any way ideal. It can be a better fit. The Philmont Village Board has the right and the obligation to bring this development closer to the vision it has already agreed to fulfill. The future of Philmont is at stake. Yours sincerely, William Ordu.
There's Carrie. Had an emergency.
Some people are thinking that the village board has more authority over this than we really do.
It sounds like it.
This is not, a lot of this is not under the purview of the village board. It would be more zoning and planning. And we are legally not supposed to influence them. So I completely hear all of this, but I hope people understand that the village board is not able to do much about it. We hosted the two events just so people could get a preview and not be blindsided when it all went to planning.
Are you saying, Doug, that the community really has the power in this situation?
That's the reason I wanted to have him set up the first meeting. The second meeting was actually his idea. I wanted the first one. So when this all comes to fruition, there hasn't been any engineering or anything done yet. I mean, I just wanted him to get it out there in the open. So all of you people have time to think about this. So when it does come to the planning board, you have your ducks in a row when you sit here in front of them. That was my goal. And with what Doug said is true, but you can be rest assured the village board is not going to back away from this, because my name is going on this as mayor of the village. When this starts, my name is going on this, and I will not let this fail, and the village will be protected, Peter, one way or another. We are going to remain involved one way or another. Carrie, you're up.
Thank you for being flexible. Hi, my name is Carrie. I have only been living here. I've been renting here. Me and my husband are looking to buy property, but in this day and age, it's very difficult to find accessible housing. So I just wanted to encourage you guys. I realize legally it might not be in your power, but just kind of be aware. I'm here just to represent the renting community of Philmont, that there's a lot of us that are trying to get to ownership, and that if there are just steps that can be taken that make it accessible for either young families or people trying to gain ownership, I think that could just really boost Philmont to a next level. Also, just wanted to say that Philmont is a very diverse, like, wonderful place that I've lived so far. I've only been here for 10 months, but just wanted to say that this place is different than other places that are gentrifying and not being accessible to people that are just trying to work hard and do it. So I'm just here to encourage, you know, Philmont in general, to keep on going, in the direction of keeping the diversity. Yeah, I think the development that's going up there won't necessarily help, I don't know the details of it financially, but help the social aspect of everything. So, of the environment that we might want to have. So, yeah, thank you.
It's fine until you took your mask off. Just so you can be assured, I've raised my family here. I struggled. My son was fortunate enough to get a house before the right when the pandemic was hitting. Yeah. Before things went from $200,000 to $400,000. Yeah. So there isn't anybody on here who doesn't feel for that situation, so we're not unsympathetic to it. So we're gonna do what we can to keep that open to everybody.
Thank
you. What we can do is kind of up in the air right now. But
yeah, it's a hard fight, yeah, so. Right?
But it's a hard fight. We've been through it before, and we fared pretty well out of that one. Nothing happened, really. You can't see any development from the road. These people have the best plan that I've heard in quite a while, as far as the dark color houses, you know, small. Bottom line is, I don't think anybody is going to be 100% happy with what goes on, myself included, because the best thing that can happen is nothing. And we all know that that's not going to happen. At some point, there's going to be something there. It doesn't, maybe not this time, but at some point, there's going to be something there, and nobody's going to be 100% happy with it. The thing that we have to remember is that if we work with these guys, maybe we can all walk away from the table just a little bit mad. And they're willing to play ball now. I mean, not many developers would have come to a village meeting like that, or a public forum like that
twice
to get chewed out. I mean, they're willing to play ball. I think if we stay on our toes, go to the meetings, go to the planning board meetings, and maybe we can get them to throw another meeting in when they get farther along. Maybe, you know, I'm on pretty good terms with them right now. I don't know how long that's going to last, but as long as I'm on good terms with them, I can get them to come here and talk. And like I said, I'm going to try to keep this board involved. There's five of us here that really care about the village, so we're going to stay involved. Anything else?
Just one question. I believe everybody here tonight cares deeply about the village, especially all the board members, and I appreciate all the input. But just to keep this community going, we have a deep passion for this, and your involvement and our involvement all. All our input in BioLife and everything that involves the reservoir and people that use it and love it, and it's all in our backyards and sometimes in our front yard, like myself. But I think we all agree that we have a passion for this place. Mm-hmm. So thank
Absolutely.
You for your input. Yeah, Brian, thank you.
And I'm sorry, can I get your name? I don't know everybody yet.
Oh,
your
George,
name?
George Brown.
All right, thank you.
All right, with that being said, no, I think we'll go to the fuel and the propane bid.
Okay. I actually only have Harrington's. So they're bid for fuel.
Harrington's, by the way, is the one that's servicing us now.
Do you want me to read it all or just their price and
just
service?
Just the highlights.
Okay. All right, so Harrington's $2.49 per gallon, $2.49 per gallon. Our supplier is Sprague Energy. Service and maintenance is $140, cleaning and parts, $140 service calls and parts, additional hours, or $85 an hour. it.
Fuel oil?
Correct. And this one's for the propane. So for the propane, the maintenance. Propane is $1.88 per gallon. Supplier is NGL Wholesale. Service and maintenance is $140 for cleaning and parts, $140 for service call and parts. Additional hours are $85 an hour. And that's it.
Okay. Can I get a motion or not?
Did we solicit, or was this like put out there and then people?
So I put it in the paper. People did reach out to me. We reached out to a couple. We reached out to Valley to see if they wanted a paper. I sent a paper to Maribito. They never sent it back. So Harrington's the only one that reached out and actually got back to us.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's carried. Harrington's is still our fuel supplier.
Okay. All right, so hold on. I have them set up as two separate motions. So to accept the bid of the number two fuel oil from Harrington.
It's Larry and Doug.
Doug is first, Larry second. Is that correct?
No.
Other way around. That's why I asked. Okay. And then to accept the propane, same, Larry, Doug.
All right,
I just
want to
make sure I have it right.
All right,
thank you.
Okay, now we go from the reports of committees. We have no attorney tonight. Clerk Treasurer's report.
Okay. Water sewer bills were mailed out on October 1st and are due by October 31st without penalty. The office will be closed on Tuesday, November 2nd for Election Day. The County Board of Elections will be using the back hall for elections. Garbage pickup will remain the same, so please remember to get your stickers from McNam's or the office on Monday. The office will also be closed on Thursday, November 11th, in observance of Veterans Day. The three filing cabinets right back here, closest to the ramp, can be deemed as scrap. They have been painted over, are rusted, and have no lock. Work continues on the records, so once we get through all the active files and they're arranged, we'll be able to surplus the ones we're not using. I attended a webinar on October 7th, sponsored by EOC for Water Infrastructure Improvement Act, which provides competitive grants to help municipalities fund water quality infrastructure projects. I worked closely with Bob Patterson, Rob Fitzsimmons, Bond Counsel, Attorney John Minot, and Don McCormick from the Bank of Green County in an effort to secure funding for the bank, the Village of Philmont Fire Truck. Worked with Don McCormick and Rob Fitzsimmons to obtain a credit card for the village. We have spent many hours this month working with IT, accounting, bank, and legal to ensure that we are keeping compliance with our procedures in the village office as new assignments keep coming our way. A reminder of the interruption in the water service on October 19th, we're getting a lot of calls of people who think it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's 9 o'clock at night with an anticipated restoration on the 20th at 5 o'clock a.m. We are also asking that all department directors please email the reports to clerk@philmont.org no later than Thursday before the meeting. So email and not paper. That's it.
Thank you. Building inspector's report. I guess I'll read that off. Tenancy COs issued were 10. Rental registrations issued were 6. Tenancy inspections were 10. Building permits 4. Construction inspections 5. There were 3 COs issued. And there's 1 CO search. That's submitted by Lee Hine. Also, the vacant buildings list has been provided to us. They've missed a couple. We'll get with them in the morning. What's going to happen is that all the vacant building owners are going to be sent a letter, a copy of the law. And as of January 1st, we're going to start charging, I think. January 1st was the deadline to register.
Because in that law, you have to register the vacant buildings in all 9 yards. Okay. Next letter.
Buildings and grounds, I just wanted to say, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want to thank Doug Clapper for replacing all the switches and outlet covers in the pavilion. It was awesome. He also noticed there was a board missing on the picnic table, and Jason came and repaired that last week. And so in the spring, we should arrange to have both picnic tables repainted. In September, we had both toddler and preschool story times have been very successful, with about 5 to 6 children attending the first preschool story time and 3 attending the first toddler story time. Regarding the pool library, Dave Benson, our board president, and I met with the insurance agent for the village library regarding the liability for the Tuolumne library. He emailed back the next day with permission from the underwriter to continue with the provisions of adjusting some of the language in our policy, our waiver, and adding a procedure on how we maintain the tools. We did send that to Rob. We have not heard back on that because they asked that we do that. We have that looked at before we change any of the language. A lot of it was very similar to what we already had. They stipulated that we may not provide power tools, but they said the items that we currently have listed and things that we're asking to add are fine. And they're asking for an additional $275 per year for coverage. We feel it's completely reasonable, and we as the library offer to chip in for that. I don't know, I talked to, Bob Patterson, and he said there's a way for us to do that, to just build the library and have us transfer the funds, so it's not all that complicated. Habitat for Humanity, I met with Al Valencia, who's the new executive director for Columbia County Habitat for Humanity. They'd love to partner with us on programs around home ownership maintenance, and including but not limited to tools, household budgeting, and fun projects like upholstering furniture. They've been looking for a project like this in Columbia County since they're not able to do any building right now and haven't for the last year or so. So, they are willing to work with us on that. He's also working on getting volunteers for us to help move the shed and seal it up. He's offered to reach out to their partners, stores like Lowe's, Home Depot, and Harrington's, to not only get Williams and the Restore to get volunteers and donations of tools. They'll also be taking the 2 large desks that are from our office right now that's occupying that space that we're trying to turn it into a meeting room instead. And the Restore is able to take those. And they'll hopefully be able to also find us a small table so that we can use as a meeting room space. We have been talking about purchasing a product as a meeting room. We have a lot of people come in who would like to use that kind of space, but it gets, we don't really have any spot with a closed door. So my office, where those desks are going to turn into a meeting room space that people can use for tutoring and other things like that. We'd like to get plaques for the tool shed that thank TD Barrett's office, who's giving us a large grant for that, and Habitat for being a sponsor. That would also help them just to have their name in the community, since the next project they will be doing will be here in Philmont, so we win. In-kind donation, we just received a very generous donation from a company called Romanoff Plastics in Chatham. I called to ask them about purchasing small containers to use for sensory bins during story time, and she suggested that I come up to visit and ended up giving us a slew of things for free rather than us purchasing them. So they're going to be able to help us have a Lego club, Lego type things, over a dozen containers for sensory bins, a dozen little desktops so that we can do a program for kids after school on how to set up a cozy homework space, and other things that will help us organize our problems. We received $1,100 for summer reading that was really meant for 2 years ago in 2019. It was money from, I believe, the D.D. Barrett's office that they had promised two libraries for summer reading, and because of budgeting issues last year, didn't get to us, but that just put it out. Our in-person virtual program attendance has been rated at 435. People in the library in September has been 925, which is phenomenal. Digital services, we're now counting both Clubhouse and Philmont share a joint account for most of our e-services, and we usually try to separate that as what things are attributed to them and us, but we've been finding that some of the accounts are not right, like we have some patrons that are really Philmont patrons that's being attributed to Clubhouse, so from now on we'll be giving you the numbers of everybody in the entire account. Our new substitute will be covering hours for two staff members for the next month and a half. And the County Association, the Columbia County Library Association, we sent a letter to the county supervisors asking for ARPA funds, which is the American Response Fund, to have solar-powered charging stations for electronic devices in each library. These will be in the form of a solar umbrella and a picnic table. It's not guaranteed funds, it's just funds that we had asked for. They asked if there was, if they were getting funds and we wanted to know if there's anything that the library could use, and that's the product that we suggested. We'll see.
Do you have a list of the tools you need?
Excuse me?
Do you have a list of the tools that you need?
That we need? We'd love to have buckets of hand tools like wrenches and hammers and screwdrivers and measuring tapes.
Like individual buckets for individual workers?
We have the buckets, but those would be things that you wouldn't have to check out, that would be like on the honor system, so you could grab a hammer and just bring it back. So yeah.
10 each? Tell me, I happen to know the tool buyer, Harrington, so.
How many buckets you got?
I think we have like 10 buckets. And paint, we could probably use paint.
Well, now you're pushing it.
Thank you very much. Community Center? You gonna read that? Doug? Okay. This is the Community Center report for September, submitted by Julia Veronese, Director. Under facility, she basically says the place has been checked regularly. Programs, Girl Scouts are meeting on Tuesdays. Cub Scouts are meeting on Wednesdays after school. Reader Pathways is using the center on Thursdays, early afternoon. Flyers have been posted.
Okay.
AmeriCorps is scheduled to use the center on Mondays and Thursdays after school to provide a program for youth. She'll be meeting with the director October 4th. This is not in the report, but I also know that she's been working with someone to try to get a young men's group moving. That's going to be funded through Berkshire Foundation. She met with Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. The educator, they're basically setting up a program for the youth. The New York State Safe Boating Class is going to be held October 23rd at the center, and she talks about when the hours are, and the class size is limited, and see me, because I'm the instructor, but it's already full, so forget that. I'm really happy as a board member, longtime board member, that Julie has that place hopping every day of the week now. So we need to, I know Skip used to do this sometimes because I hear from Julie about she doesn't really want to be doing all this work. If you called her and thanked her and said that, it would just go a long way. That's how Skip kept her going all these years. Because she gets calls and deals with this stuff every day. And, you know, she thinks she's retired, but she's working for the village. So that would be helpful for her.
Do you have her number, Trish, that we can get if I call you tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
All right. Police report.
You're up.
So for month of September, we had 8 calls, 0 arrests, 140 property checks, no accidents, issued 7 UTTs, and 10 B&T warnings.
Thank you. How's staffing?
Getting there. I have a proposal for a hire tonight to come up.
They haven't ran an academy, right, in a while?
No, we were going to have one. We lost it. So Zone 14, they do plan. So that's one of the other things. I actually met with Lieutenant Bill DeLuca. He's one of the teachers over at the Columbia Green Community College. He invited myself and all the part-time agencies over to the college last week, and we got to go through the simulator that they have there now that's part of the law enforcement program for the college. And it's, you know, it's in the past it would be called active shooter training, but it's no longer an active shooter training, you know, if for whatever, you know, situations you're in. This system that they have there is state-of-the-art. It's actually a 3-screen training facility that you actually go in, and it deals with now mental health individuals. It's all controlled by an operator of a computer. So the officer's actions dictate what is going to actually happen. So it's all about de-escalation. So it just goes hand in hand with a lot of the reform things that are coming out for police reform. So it's really good. We've been invited, we can actually use it. We just have to schedule time with it. But my plan is before the end of the year to take the whole department through that training. There's 840 some scenarios that are in there. And it's basically, it's about using your communication skills and trying to talk people down, you know, from all aspects. And you use everything that you have, from communication skills to your pepper, to a taser, to your actual weapon. So it's awesome. It's probably some of the best training that they're offering from a simulation standpoint with a simulator, and I'm looking forward to getting everybody through it. So that's a positive.
You and I have talked, I was going to bring it up during my report, but we've talked several times the past month about the cameras.
Yes.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I met with Mid-Hudson. A gentleman by the name of Arnie came to the village, and they were trying to get a proposal together for tonight, but it's just, it's pretty complex, because in the whole process, we actually talked with Chrissy, talked about phone systems, and it becomes very lucrative if you actually do like a package. So with cameras, with phones, things like that, it's almost like a leasing system for phones as well. They maintain them, they break, things like that. It's state of the art, where you can actually, voicemail will actually come across as an email, so on and so forth. There's a lot of technology to it. They're willing to come to a workshop and run everyone through, but they're going to put all the numbers together. We went through the needs for the cameras. I did speak to the chief of the town of Stockport. They had just installed them, so he had not had the opportunity. So it was only a couple weeks ago now. They haven't had the opportunity to like really see how well they work. But from my discussion with the guys from Mid-Hudson and what they actually do, it's great, because we can actually call. They email us the footage. So if something actually happens, it's not like you have to come to the village. We got to search it. It could take hours.
Just like a trail camera, you can check from your cell phone.
Right. So the cameras will be via the phone. I mean, what we have now, they were via the phone, but it's just, there's a lot. And it's all part of the package, and it's like the lease package. So depending on
are we looking to replace what we have, or are we looking to expand?
Yes. Yes, so from what I requested from them is to replace the three that we currently have and then drop one down at the, down by the monument, from what I understand. So adding a fourth camera in, which is all doable, and we shouldn't run into the issue with the, you know, the trees during summertime, or sometimes we lose the communication from here. It will actually work, so. So unfortunately, I didn't get that tonight. It's a lot of work on their part, but I'll have it, and they will come to a workshop.
Yeah, that would be better. We couldn't really
right.
take up time for that tonight.
Is he gonna have it ready for the next workshop?
Probably, he should. I mean, they were trying hard for today, so right. I would imagine the next couple of days I should have
it. When is our next workshop?
I need a calendar.
Fourth Wednesday.
Right.
It's the 27th.
Is it the day before Thanksgiving, by any chance?
No,
we
the October.
Have, no.
Right.
Oh, October?
Yeah. There's no workshop in November. It's
right.
October
27th.
Thank you.
So we could schedule them for the 7 o'clock at the workshop meeting. They can be first.
I just didn't know if you've been in the loop, but I wanted you to know that we've been working on that.
Yeah, so, and then I'll just add into that too. I was actually talking to Brian. So in big scheme of things as well, I also met with the county IT folks a few weeks ago. They came out, did an assessment. So with everything that we have for, you know, again, going on with police reform, and the transparency of having everything aligned accordingly between Stockport Police Department, Greenport Police Department, Philmont Police Department, and Columbia County Sheriff's Office. The county IT actually comes through and they'll actually install like the links that we'll need and all the information that's for data sharing and things like that amongst the departments. So they're actually working on that. I'm working with our IT guys to get the information that they need, but they're going to come in and are going to start doing what they need to do to get us in line. So just kind of, it's part of, you know, what we talked about in the reform, bringing everything together. So, you know, it's been a pretty busy month in terms of meeting with people and just getting people to, you know, in line to do everything that we're looking to do to move forward.
That's still Rick Giuliano?
It is for the next couple of days. He's actually retiring.
Oh.
So, which okay. the, but on a positive note, he'll still do some sideline work for the transition, but we'll be working hand in hand with Chris Sweet, who actually is a part-time police officer as well. So it's perfect as far as being an IT guy. He also understands our programs such as SJS and tracks and things like that. So whereas, you know, Pasco, our current guy, and even Rick, they're familiar with it, but not familiar, you know, so it's actually a good, you know, a good thing working with Chris. So, you know, looking forward to that as well.
Thank you. Sally?
Thank you. Just say Miami. So I attended the Boa Co-Chair standing meeting held with Mayor Johnson and Ostrom's and Trustee Ostrom. Pretty busy as agreements got signed in September, so we're really gearing up both on the LWRP and the Boa grant. So the materials for the LWR Watershed Management Plan to advance to holding the project initiation meeting at task one of the work plan. They were reviewed in the meeting, and the initiation meeting is scheduled now to be held with the DOS for November 10th, where all aspects of the village grant contract, including participations by the towns, the project scope, the schedule, the project requirements, the roles and responsibilities, the selection process of procuring consultants, and the CEQA compliance requirements, among other items. The meeting will be led by the DOS, and will produce a set of summary notes that both Trish and I will take as the deliverable product, documenting the agreements reached at the meeting. The meeting is held as an internal project and is not a public meeting. That's the LWRP. So really pleased to see that we're advancing finally to task one in work plan. And anybody in, you know, who's attending, the work plans are published on the village website, so you can go and look at the work plans and look at all the tasks. And we literally go, you know, task one, task two, task three, you know, over the period of 2 to 3 years to complete the grant. Or everything that we're doing in the grant is in the work plan, itemized by task. It's pretty easy to follow, and then you can follow my meeting minutes as I go through and document where we are in each task. To the Boa grant, sub-area one, which is the community centre playground, that's in sub-area one. Mark Ramsey is heading that as the working lead. So in our meeting, our co-chair meeting, we looked at the materials to hold two informational public presentations for the community centre and playground for the design project under the Boa grant. And permission to advance to hold these meetings in late November was approved by both Trustee Ostrand, who chairs the village committee, and the mayor. So we're advancing on that. We really do hope that we can get those meetings back to back. There are two separate meetings, and we hope to get those organized for at some point in November, probably late November, by the time we've done the presentations. And then I attended the September Village Workshop meeting that approved the flyer that was included in the October water bill, providing the information for the next steps to advance to the proposed Village of Philmont Historic District nomination. And that flyer was also posted on the various Facebook groups in the village, as well as a PPI newsletter was sent out to over 600 subscribers, and copies are available in the village office. That's my report. I'm going to try and keep them a little bit more condensed, but we're really gearing up now, and we're wasting, because we lost a lot of time over the summer.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Sally, we had talked about getting some of those items onto the Philmont website, and talked about you and
take
I.
Take any of these notes, Deborah. You know, I
mean, right.
The notes.
Well, I'm referring to our last conversation where you and I were going to get together and sort of plan that page. If
we didn't have a conversation, you brought it up at
gentlemen
a board meeting, and then you sent an email. And
okay,
then you asked me in that email not to respond to that email. So we never arranged to have a conversation.
Okay, I have a different recollection. We can talk about it later. Never mind. It's okay.
Yeah, maybe you should go through Larry and Ryan. That might be a really good
idea. We'll talk about it later.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
David?
DPW report. Repairing the leaper, installing the clutch, preparing the ignition on it. Had new back tires installed on the backhoe, new rear tires on the garbage truck, been mowing and trimming. Prepared a couple times for a heavy rain by cleaning the catch basin lid. Replaced two culvert pipes on Railroad Avenue with help from Flower Fleet DPW, a 12-inch 30-footer and an 18-inch 40-footer. Took the power end and meridians, installed the sander on truck 7, replacing the auger on truck 22 for the sander, replaced the oil pan on the leaper, garbage and recycling, handed out flyers for the public forum, preparing and repairing trucks for the winter, repaired the garbage truck that was the delay on the 28th of September. We had an issue during the recycling, that's why they didn't get picked up till late. Water and wastewater report. Prepared the wet well sump, took samples to DEC and health department, all passed. Baldwin, we hauled 15,000 gallons of sludge to Albany, installed pumps, preparing that. Had a meeting at the fire pump station with engineer Brian and Hartens for flow issues, valve being removed. Located the shutoff valves for that tower. Work to be done on the 19th at 9 p.m. to to the 5 a.m. on the 20th. That's next Tuesday and Wednesday. Disinfection project should be started this week sometime at the plant. Several final water meter readings. Read several water meters, repaired a few water meters, and purchased a new 3-inch trash pump. Ceased to work for us and need to have that in case of emergencies.
Thank you. My report. I was with the engineer a couple times. I went up to the water tower, and I was with the engineer yesterday down here at this building. This building has an issue. Some of the bricks are coming off the front, and it potentially could be a larger issue than just a couple of bricks coming off. So he's going to not draw us up a plan, but give us some guidance on how to go. I had the mason here. Mason and the engineer talked. They do have a plan. It's going to take place sometime in November. I was with the engineer down to the sewer plant. I met with the builders. Everything's set to go this week. I've signed all the papers to get it going. Everybody should be happy with that. Up at the water tower, there's a valve. They call it an altitude valve, which we haven't used since we used Forest Lake. They seem to think it's plugged, which is restricting the flow to the fire pumps. So that has to come out. So I'm just going to take it out and replace it with a straight piece of pipe because it's no longer needed. That's what we're doing the night of the 19th. I was with Toby for a while, and I went to the library meeting about the boiler down there. Everything's underway. I think Trish sent him a check, right?
It'll go out in tomorrow's mail. Yeah.
Check's been written for that. They've been contacted, so they should have heat by cold weather. All right, so since I forgot Deborah the last time, I'm going to start with Deborah.
Thank you. So let's see. Well, of course, we now have the new LED streetlights, and there was a lot of communication with community members around that. And I researched a little about what it would take to get shields for residents if they wanted them. But I think people are pretty happy with them and the lack of glare.
Yeah.
So that's been going well. And then I also communicated with the juice bar, the manufacturers of our electric vehicle charging station, to find out how we can begin using those charging stations and getting software so that the village can charge for filling up one's cars, for charging one's car. And that's something I'll bring to the workshop meeting to get that going. I've reached out to, just to try to educate myself around these idea of inclusionary housing and affordable housing, workforce housing. I've had conversations with Homes and Community Renewal, with Darren Scott, and then also with Michelle Tull, the Housing Justice Director in Hudson. And updates to the websites. Someone notified us, a good Samaritan notifies us, that we have an invasive species called the jumping worms that cause considerable damage to trees. If anybody is interested in finding out more about them, go to the village website and look on the posts on the homepage. Apparently once they're here, you cannot get rid of them, but there are things you can do to identify them and mitigate the damage. That's what I got.
Are they good for fishing?
They move too much. Try to get one on the hook. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, they are great for fishing.
They're on some
way. We should utilize them for fishing.
They will.
Yes. We can get a village-wide collection going.
Jason.
This week, I want to thank Doug for alerting me to the safety issue at the library, so thank you, Doug. It was great. It was good teamwork. We worked on fixing that up, and he did some of the work too, which is awesome. I mentioned earlier, a couple weeks ago, we were going to work on the legend and lore's marker. It's not going to happen. I spoke to them. We don't have enough of a legend or lore at this point in time. No big deal. We can work on it again. Working on, and so in lieu of that, I like to do a historical event for the village in the winter. I'm working with some of the local historians in the village to plan that. If anybody have any insight or any requests, please send them my way. Working on the website with Deborah and press releases for short-term rentals or vacant building laws to make it more digestible for our citizens so they can kind of get an idea of what it's about. Maybe see an example of some of the worksheets I need to hand in and then have all the information they need to actually read the law and understand it the best they can. I'd like to make a video for the shoveling law this year, like exactly how it works, just not to be funny or just to make people aware that it's coming back again, it's going to creep up on us again. And then obviously I attended the very well attended and really interesting Summit Street Development Project meetings. And Deborah, I'm sorry you weren't there, but they were really good.
I made it to the second one.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you did.
Yeah.
I really appreciate everyone's input. I thought it was a great look for the community, and I felt really good being there. And that's it.
I went to both of those meetings and I concur with Jason. I think the public had a lot of real concerns and some good asks. So I think it was very beneficial to do, and I'd like to thank the Clover Reach Group for putting that on. Went to the village workshop, attended the BOA workshop meeting, and previewed the new fire truck that we are going to write a check for tonight to purchase. That's it.
Doug? Larry, do you want to do Chief's report, or do you want me to do it, or summarize it?
I can do it.
Okay.
Fire Chief's report, Village of Philmont for October 5th. Calls for the month were 24. I'm not going to go over every call. A lot of EMS calls. Total calls for the year is 136. Fire calls for the year 89. EMS calls are 47. We did two drills, two truck inspections, two work details. The fire company participated in the annual Chatham Fair Parade. We hosted the Columbia County Firemen's Convention meeting on September 8th. Viewed a demo truck on September 13th at the firehouse. Had annual OSHA training, which was completed on September 25th with 21 members. We had one member graduate from the Firefighter 1 class, Mark Roundtree. Thank you, Mark. That's how many hours is that now? It's like 180 or something?
Yeah. And it was 90 odd degrees. So for some reason they do it in the height of summer.
Yeah.
Just for additional fun.
Well, to find out forward. if you can take the heat or not. Right. Yeah.
Right. Have you made a call yet?
I haven't been inside yet, no.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We thanked you last meeting, but I don't think you were here.
Let's hope there are none of those calls.
True.
Right.
Right.
We also had two members recertified as EMTs, Christina Brusacos and Chris Morehouse, and we have one more attending the class right now. Subnight October 1st at the firehouse with seven members. Spaghetti dinner on the weekend, October 9th, and they participated in Taconic Hills Fire Prevention Day at Taconic Hills. And that's it.
Can I add one thing I forgot to mention, which is I completed the application for the grant to fix our sidewalks.
Good. All right. Attended the workshop meeting, work on the dot booth pavilion, as Jason mentioned, took care of some electrical safety issues there. I went to the first forum on the development. Brian and I and Today, you've met with the engineer and contractors on the wastewater treatment plant disinfection system. Had several conversations, as was mentioned before, with Vern. We're working on the camera situation. People have noticed that the new LED streetlights are up, and I think it's good that Barbara's here, because people should realize that I don't know how many years you put into getting that all started. So I think we should thank Barbara for getting that all initially started, and thank them for finishing it out. So thank you, Barbara. That was a great improvement. I think Barbara worked on that for, what, 3 years? At least.
A long time.
So, and on those jumping worms, I have a number of them in my yard, and I did get to go up to the Adirondacks this week, and I did get a bunch of them and brought them with me. And you can't prove it by me that they catch fish.
Oh, wow.
I've seen you fish them.
I always say, if you want to catch fish, stay in Columbia County. You don't go to the Adirondacks to catch fish. Okay, that's it, Brian.
Correspondence list is provided to the board and to the public. Motions and resolutions.
Okay. The first two are for the fuel and the propane. All right, motion to set the annual village elections for Tuesday, March 15th, 2022 from noon to 9 p.m. at the village hall to elect two trustees for a 2-year term and one village justice for a 4-year term.
Motion.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Fred Rivenberg to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a Class A firefighter member. Made by.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint a mayor to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a fire support member. Made by.
Motion. Can't get a motion.
Do we want to save it for later?
Sure.
All right, motion to make a budget line transfer in the amount of $70,000 from the fire truck reserve to the general checking to go toward the purchase of the Toyn commercial pumper for the volunteer village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Deborah already made a
motion. Oh, sorry, I'll second.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to approve the hiring of Officer Michael J. Reagan to the Village of Philmont Police Department effective October 12, 2021, as submitted by OIC Vern Doyle. Made by.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Motion to reimburse DPW Supervisor Dave Sider in the amount of $1,419.25 for a payment associated with an emergency purchase of a clutch from Foley Engines for the Leafer owned by the Village of Philmont. Made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Motion to increase the pay rate of Edward, I'm gonna say it wrong.
Bravender.
Thank you. By $2 to $20 per hour effective October 12th, 2021. Made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right, and we have two resolutions. One, Resolution 7, to authorize the acquisition of a fire truck for the village, estimating the aggregate cost thereof to be $305,620, appropriating up to $305,620. Therefore, and authorizing the issuance of indebtedness to the minimum principal amount of $215,620 to finance said cost. That was written by the attorney, not by me.
You said minimum. This reads maximum.
Okay, I'm sorry. Indebtedness to the maximum principal amount of $215,620 to finance said cost.
Thank you.
Made by.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Can we do a roll call on that one?
Yeah.
All right. So Deborah?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Doug?
Yes.
And Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, resolution number 8 is to approve, to approve the clerk treasurer to obtain a credit card from the Bank of Greene County with a credit limit of $5,000 to be used in accordance with the village's credit card policy adopted by resolution this date, made by.
Do we do roll call and resolution?
We did not adopt the resolution for the policy, did we? We don't have the policy set.
Right.
Rob gave us, yeah, it's in here.
Right, Rob gave me a copy of the.
I would like to make a motion that we adopt the credit card policy as written by our lawyer first.
Okay.
Can I give a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Hold on, still writing the motion as written by. Okay, who was
then,
first?
Then I would make the motion to obtain the credit card.
Who made the motion first?
Doug.
And second?
Deborah.
Okay. All right, so then resolution 8 to approve, made by.
Do resolutions get roll calls or just, mm-hmm. They're like motions? Do you have to make the motion and then do a roll call?
So, resolutions usually have a roll call because if you see on the resolution, there's like a printout of all the, that we have to say that everybody said yes.
But Doug's right, the motion's not necessary. We can just.
So we just, jump, we can jump to the roll call?
Just do a roll call vote to approve the credit card.
Good.
All right, so we want to keep the motion to adopt the policy as written by Attorney Fitzsimmons.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Then we're going to resolve to obtain the credit card.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're doing the roll call?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Deb.
Okay, yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Doug?
Yeah.
And Mayor?
Yes.
And that's it for resolutions for me.
Unfinished business.
Where are we with the library, with the basement? Fixing that, you know, the theme or whatever.
No place.
No place.
Well, we actually are not very far along. We got to get the engineer to get us the cost analysis so we can put it out for bid. Well, he's been rather busy with all the rest of the stuff right. That I've got him doing.
Yeah. I didn't know if it had been resolved or no.
It's just got to get put together and get out for a bit. Now that we've got the new boiler going in, the plan has already been drawn up. We know what we're going to do. We just got to get it out for a bit. New business? There's no new business. We need to go to an executive session for a personnel issue.
Okay. Motion to go to an executive session to discuss the employment of a particular individual.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
All right. We'll be back.
volunteers.
Back.
So I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We're done.
Okay.
Cool.
Wow, this was the most efficient meeting.
I know, it was good, right?